Good evening and welcome to Stopwatch on BDTV. I'm Jean-Pierre Verster of Fairtree Capital. We don't have a presenter tonight, but don't worry. The guests have taken over the show. So with me is Rowan Williams of Nitrogen Fund Managers, and we will be taking your questions in this shortened version. You can SMS us 41392 or email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za or tweet us at businessdaytv using the hashtag Stockwatch. Rowan, good evening.
Evening.
So just you and me tonight on the show.
So no problem.
Yes. Maybe just kick off on the day, overview.
Yeah, so it was an interesting day on the JSE. I think, the backdrop of what looks like possibly stage five and stage six load shedding. So what we actually saw that filtering into the market through the day, the top 40 looked like it was up 17 basis points. But behind that, what we saw were the banks in particular selling off quite aggressively towards the end of the day, close to 4% down, most of the big South African banks. So they felt the brunt of it. The retailers also down. I think people are starting to factor in what is the impact to the real economy of the sustained load shedding that we're experiencing at the moment. So it does look quite negative. The Rand hedges did better. The Rand has been on the back foot. It was a little bit volatile also on the news, but ending around 1445. So, and the Resi was also quite strong. So you had strong Resi and sort of weak Findi sort of balancing each other out. And Naspers was up a little bit as well. So, but it does look quite tough for the local environment.
Yes, unfortunately so. And the banks taking the brunt of that.
Yeah.
Let's look at a few questions. We got a few from email so far. And we got a question on Ascendus and Aspen. Would we pair trade the two? Unfortunately, in a pair trade, one must go long one and short the other, although share prices have moved quite a bit, which means that perhaps this could work. What do you think about Aspen and Ascendus?
Yeah, so clearly two healthcare-related stocks that had been flying high, both, I guess, with their own sort of prospect. But interesting, some similarities in terms of growing very fast via acquisition, debt-fueled as well, and now both balance sheets are stretched as they've seen business slow. And so also both potentially having to raise fresh capital, Ascendus actually indicating that a rights issue is possibly in the wings. To date, Aspen is saying they think they can raise capital from business sales. So I guess the one issue is very different market capitalizations of the two stocks. So notwithstanding some of those similarities, and then there is different geographic exposure. So these are typically the things that you would look at a pair trade. But I guess as a investor, you could consider which one would you prefer. And yes, a typical pair trade would be going long one and actually short the others, a hedge against that exposure that you're picking up. So I think in terms of Aspen, it's a solid business. It has still got the infant milk formula sale in the wings, which is substantial. It does look like it'll still go ahead. And I think off the back of that, you'll see the share re-rate quite substantially because the balance sheet will be much stronger. Well, Ascendus, it looks like they are going to have to undertake a rights issue. Interestingly enough, they're also looking at a sale.
Yes, Remedica in this case.
Exactly, yes, in Europe. So it sounds like there are quite a few parallels, but I would take the big cap over the small cap.
I agree with you. Yeah. I think Aspen has got a lot more levers at its disposal, and the stake of the infant milk formula sale looks a lot more probable than Remedica in the case of Ascendus. Another question we got via email is African Rainbow Capital. Nice collection of assets. You have Rain in the telecommunications space, Time, a bank that might disrupt the others, a few smaller companies, some listed, like Afrimat, for instance, a very small holding still in EOH. It is trading at a significant discount to some of the parts. We know there is a fee structure, which to a certain extent can justify the discount.
Yeah.
But it seems that even after that, the discount is quite wide, even taking that into account. What do you think?
Yeah, so it shows you what a challenging environment it has been for these investment holding companies. They list and very quickly start to trade, as you're pointing out, at fairly substantial discounts to the underlying. So Their most recent set of results, the underlying NAV up 1%, so that was pretty disappointing, and notwithstanding what looked like good performance or good valuation uplift from Rain in particular, some of the other unlisted assets not doing well. BlueSpec, which is in the panel beta market, not doing well. We know the difficulties at EOH as well. Time, it looks like an interesting investment. They're putting a lot of money and time into it, I guess. So it is a call, I think, on sort of those disruptors, Rain and Time, and whether you think they will succeed. Much better entry point right now. Mm. So it does look quite compelling. If you believe in the team and what they're going to achieve, it does look like a very strong team. It is one to consider, but for the long term, I don't think you can expect sort of fireworks in the short term. This is a 3 to 5 year horizon.
Yes. And if you look more generally, I mean, we have the load shedding going on at the moment. You mentioned the banks today under pressure. Mm. But more generally, South African-based stocks, some of the retailers still trading at high multiples, some of the mid-caps looking very cheap, but then again, they are more exposed to the SA economy. Do you have a preference when you look at domestic shares, whether the retailers, the banks, mid-caps, where do you see value at the moment?
Yeah, so it does look like a lot of the mid-caps are quite depressed. So the valuations are quite low. So you've got to look for low valuations where it's a quality business, maybe has still some secular defensive growth in a particular area, a stock that we've liked for some time, just to illustrate the point. Ultron, it is a mid-cap stock. It's reasonably exposed to the South African economy, although they have diversified and they've successfully expanded offshore. So that's the big distinction as well. They've got very strong operations in the UK. We have seen the pound actually strengthen quite considerably against the rand as well. And that's performed very well. So that's defensive. It has its own dynamics. And it does look like it's still got some legs. So it's specific stock picking. I think obviously we're all waiting for the elections as well. And that will determine, you know, whether the outlook for the South African economy and I guess the stocks that are exposed to that will improve. So it's going to be a little bit of a wait and see. I think, unfortunately, the sentiment, as you're pointing out, load shedding, it does have actually real business impact in terms of costs, like the retailers you're mentioning, to keep running their stores, to run the generators. I think it also impacts just shopper behavior and whether people go to the malls if they think there's going to be no power. So it could impact volumes as well. So I think, unfortunately, in the shorter term, still negative, but I think if it's a successful election, people feel positive about the potential reforms, we could see quite a big uplift in local stocks.
We hope so. But yeah, as we wait for that, Ryan, I know both you and I manage global funds as well. So we have a question also from McDonald asking, if we look at the US, an interesting US stocks out there, because I do think once again, when the SA economy is under pressure and we are uncertain, everyone's waiting for the election, those who can take exposure offshore are finding some interesting opportunities in the U.S., notwithstanding what the president might be tweeting and markets then moving based on what he says. What are you seeing in the U.S. in terms of specific
stocks? Yeah, so I mean, it's a huge market, again, I mean, in terms of the selection that you've got. So you can easily find a stock that you think has got good secular growth prospects, again, notwithstanding Trump and political noise and trade wars, etc. And what we have seen is a lot of corporate activity in the payment space right now, a big merger being announced actually this morning.
Yes, Worldpay.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, yeah,
so taken over or merged with a merger of equals.
Yes, yes. So that's a very hot space. PayPal looks actually very interesting. That was spun out of eBay, and they've sort of been reinventing the business in terms of gaining more volume, not being as reliant on say just pure eBay subscribers or users, and becoming more of a broad-based global payments platform. They also have, I think it's called Vima, I'm not sure the exact name. It's a sort of social payments methodology that you can pay people that you know through a sort of an app. And that's gained huge amounts of traction. They're still to monetize that. But I think the space is quite hot, and it looks like an interesting opportunity.
Now, sometimes when a space is hot, it means already valuations are quite high, which makes it difficult. But if you look over the last few years in the U.S., the social media companies and other internet-based businesses have really done extremely well. Some of them still trading at reasonable multiples, but the question is, are the best days behind them in terms of growth? Someone like Facebook, Google even, or Alphabet as the listed company is known. Even Apple now had a bit of a lull and now coming through with some new pads, for instance, that they have announced. So do you have a view about that whole broader IT sector? Are we past the best days, or is there still some value for longer term growth?
Look, I think you have to look at the different stocks, and they may have sort of different prospects. Facebook, I think, is going to face increasing regulations. They've seemed to have been somewhat lax with their privacy controls and sort of just how they treat their customers' data. So I think you could see increased regulatory oversight, which could put a dampener on growth there. Instagram is still an amazing platform, still see strong growth. You see all the youth, really, that's their Facebook is Instagram, and that's how they communicate through pictures and videos largely. So it's hard to say, but I'd say Facebook may be getting a little bit more mature. Google I really like in terms of the span of the operations, but again, the AdWords, the sort of core of the business, the advertising may be slowing growth as well. So it's hard. You're not going to get the returns that you've had for the last 5 or 10 years out of these stocks. What does look interesting is eBay. So you've got to still look for value in the sector. Its sort of valuation is very reasonable. They're looking at sort of reinventing the business as well, making it a bit more relevant. They've had some management challenges. Elliot, the activist investors, are starting to get involved, looking at a potential breakup of the business, which could be quite interesting and value accretive.
And they have an e-commerce business as well, an online ad business, very similar to what Naspers has and Schibsted in illicit
entity. That's right, the online classifieds.
Yes, 100%. In Norway, that's going to be spun out on its own. So there could be some very interesting corporate
activity. Yes, exactly. So does that one, I'd say, if you're looking for value in the tech sector, that's probably looking a bit more interesting.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, let's bring it back to South Africa. We have an email question from Matthews. He's asking about Sibanye over a 2 to 3 year horizon. With or without Lonmin, if you have a view on if the deal will go through, and then more broadly, Sibanye.
Yeah, so in terms of the Lonmin transaction, that's been dragging on for long. It shows you how challenging these large mergers can be. It's interesting, the dynamics of Lonmin. I think a lot of the platinum producers actually would prefer if Sibanye didn't acquire Lonmin, because it's unlikely that Lonmin would survive in its current form on its own, which means quite a lot of production could be taken out of the platinum industry, which means platinum prices would firm. So I guess from Sibanye's perspective, they also have a lot of exposure to palladium, quite a lot of excitement today again.
Yes,
palladium,
another new high.
Yes, over $1,600 an ounce. And it's been interesting. People have said, will there be substitution between the motor manufacturers now saying, okay, we're going to not use palladium, it's so expensive, we're going to use platinum. In a motor car, apparently it's only $50 or $60 worth of palladium. Notwithstanding if the price has gone up. So incrementally, it like may make a few dollars difference if they substitute. So it seems like the palladium prices could remain high for a long time. And I guess that is positive for Sibanye. Quite a difficult operating environment. We've seen all the issues with AMCU and the strikes. I think there's another a third judgment that's coming out in, I think, the next week or so, which could be quite positive for Sibanye. So I think if you have a firm view on palladium and you believe it can retain current levels,
yes,
it does look quite interesting. I think if they do acquire Lonmin, Froneman is a good operator.
Yes, and it'll probably cut out some costs, and it could do well.
So it could do well over the next few years.
Well, Jay has also asked about Sibanye via Twitter, so we've answered that one, but we need to move to stock picks. So, Rowan, do you have a stock pick for us tonight?
Yeah, so I'm still going to stick with Old Mutual. I mean, it is focused on the South African economy, but again, from a valuation perspective, we've got it still on single-digit sort of PEs and multiples, I guess, really, in terms of embedded value. And if you look inside, for example, their banking operation doing incredibly well, over 1 million transactional accounts. We've seen Capitec again reach lifetime highs today. And that's sort of a burgeoning banking business inside, as well as all the other operations, insurance operations that they have. If we do see a positive outcome to the elections, I think some of these stocks could rally quite hard.
Okay, thank you very much.
Sure.
That was Stockwatch tonight. I call it the mutiny edition, seeing that the presenters took over the studio, or the guests took over the studio. The presenters should be back tomorrow. Thank you to my guest, Rowan Williams of Nitrogen Fund Managers. I'm Jean-Pierre Verster of Fairtree Capital. And Stockwatch will be back tomorrow night, same time. Good night. to move to stock picks. So, Rowan, do you have a stock pick for us tonight?
Yeah, so I'm still going to stick with Old Mutual. I mean, it is focused on the South African economy, but again, from a valuation perspective, we've got it still on single-digit sort of PEs and multiples, I guess, really, in terms of embedded value. And if you look inside, for example, their banking operation doing incredibly well, over 1 million transactional accounts. We've seen Capitec again reach lifetime highs today. And that's sort of a burgeoning banking business inside, as well as all the other operations, insurance operations that they have. If we do see a positive outcome to the elections, I think some of these stocks could rally quite hard.
Okay, thank you very much. Sure. That was Stockwatch tonight. I call it the mutiny edition, seeing that the presenters took over the studio, or the guests took over the studio. The presenters should be back tomorrow. Thank you to my guest, Rowan Williams of Nitrogen Fund Managers. I'm Jean-Pierre Verster of Fairtree Capital. And Stockwatch will be back tomorrow night, same time. Good night.